you contributed financially to Harvest Ministries in the year of 2018. Well, your contribution reports are ready, and Sister Desiree has been handing many of those out. And if you have not got yours, please see her. We're thankful for your faithfulness in giving. Amen. I also need to mention tonight just one announcement. And the annual business meeting of the First United Pentecostal Church of Springfield Incorporated will be held Tuesday, January the 2nd, 2019 at 7 p.m. at Harvest Ministries, 3114 East Sunset Street, Springfield, Missouri. And we're looking forward to a great night of just celebration of everything that God is doing. Amen. Well, let's go to the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Good to see everybody here. Good to see our guests tonight. Good to see all of our home folks. We're glad that you came out to worship the Lord. Amen. Good to see Sister Helen back from out of town a few weeks with family. Good to see her tonight. Amen. I tell you what, it was good to see Sister Todd back this weekend. She was out of town a few weeks. I know Brother Todd's happy to have her home. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Good to see my wife over here smiling at me. That's always good. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity or love, it profiteth me nothing. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, and rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. What does that mean? There are some that have taken that scripture to say, well, tongues shall cease, so we don't need to speak any tongues anymore. In the previous chapter, if you read this, Paul has been teaching on the gifts of the Spirit, and which included tongues and prophecy and the word of knowledge. And, you know, which of those nine gifts of the Spirit are the best gifts? He says you need to desire the best gifts. And then he goes right into teaching about love. And he says that if you have all of those gifts, if you're missing love, you're missing it all. Amen. Verse 9, continue on. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Praise the Lord. Tonight we're going to continue our lessons on our purpose, our vision, our theme for this year, love, grow, serve, go. And this is part one. We're going to look at love, love. Turn to somebody and tell them, I love you. Well, now is your chance, if you weren't married, to put it in there, but amen, amen. Praise the Lord. It's nice to have a family of God that we love one another. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You may be seated. Last week we talked about how people can get stuck. Remember that? We've all perhaps had the moment when we've realized that we are stuck. Maybe our car got stuck, or maybe we were stuck in a tight spot. If you go down to the Small End Cave, they have a contraption that's been built there, and you can crawl through it. And you go up and around. Anybody ever seen that at the Small End Cave? How many of you have been to the Small End Cave? You need to go see it. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. It really is. And they have this contraption that is kind of like it's built out of wood, but it's got some small passageways, and you got to go up in and around it and all that. And I remember a few weeks ago, it wasn't at the Small End Cave, but it was another cave like that, and one of our friends texted us and said, pray for us because my husband just went into this deal, and it said you can only be, I don't know, however many inches around, and he was sure to get stuck. Somehow he made it out, but I don't like tight spaces. I don't know about you, but I don't want to get stuck. How many of you have ever got your finger stuck in something? And yeah, it's a, kind of a weird feeling. I remember we were at an amusement park, and Lauren had this thing that if she saw a little hole there, she'd put her finger in it. She was just little. And we were standing in line at this park, and there was a barricade, a metal barricade that had a little a bolt in it, and it had a little eyelet, and she just stuck her finger in there. I think she might have been, she was just little, and couldn't get it out, and we're stuck in the lines, and we can't move along, and we were stuck. We were stuck. Sometimes churches can get stuck. Stuck in the past, stuck in a rut, stuck in fear, stuck in hurt. But I believe it's God's will that we move forward. Amen. I believe it's God's will that we keep the mission in motion, that we have forward motion in 2019. I mentioned that this is a very unique season for our church, and churches, just like seasons, they have cycles. They have cycles. Last week we talked about the basic forms of church seasons and cycles. It's growth, consolidation, transition, and reinvention. Another season that some churches get in is apathy. Apathy, but that's optional depending on the leadership and the members of the church. And I believe that we have come through a season of transition and that we are now in a season of reinvention. And we're endeavoring to focus clearly on making sure that we're all on the same page about the purpose of the church, what our mission is, and what we're all really about. We read in Ecclesiastes 3:1, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. And so we're always in a season. And seasons change. Seasons come and seasons go. Seasons of growth are so much fun. They're great. They're wonderful. They're exciting. But we don't always enjoy a season of growth. In fact, it's not healthy to always be in a season of growth. There needs to be a period of consolidation that comes to consolidate that growth every once in a while, to solidify it and establish it. And we all go through transitions, every single one of us. There are seasons of transition in our life. And sadly, there can be a season of apathy if we're not careful. But there's also a season of reinvention, to where we get back to the basics and we focus for the next season of growth to come. If we're going to enjoy unity as we move forward, amen, we must all be on the same page about our purpose. It's vital that we all be able to simply and clearly state what the purpose of Harvest is, not only so that we know ourselves, but so that we can get others to join in this journey with us. So where are we trying to end up? I think it's important to say, where are we trying to go? Well, we're trying to go to heaven, amen? Praise the Lord. And we're trying to take as many people with us to heaven as we can. And that comes through a process of discipleship. And if you think about what kind of disciples we're trying to make or we're endeavoring to make, first of all, we're wanting to see people who love God with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their mind, with all of their strength. Secondly, we don't want to get stuck. So we want to see people that are ever growing closer to Jesus Christ. Whatever level we are on, whatever level we are on, we all need to grow. We've never reached the pinnacle of success as a Christian. We always can grow when we need to grow. Third, we desire to develop disciples who are servant leaders. And then fourth, We want to develop disciples who will change the world for Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in that only saving name, that name of Jesus Christ. We are called to go. We are called to change the world. We must go and change our world. So what kind of disciples are we seeking to develop here at Harvest Ministries? People who love God, people who are growing in faith, people who are committed to serve others, and those who will go change the world for Jesus Christ. That's our purpose. That's our vision. That's our mission. Amen? Love God, grow in faith, serve others, go change the world. Easier said, love, grow, serve, go. Faith, hope, and love. Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Love. There was a couple that had been married for 50 years. 50 years, quite an accomplishment. And a party was thrown for their great celebration of their anniversary. The husband was very moved by the occasion and wanted to tell his wife how much he thought of her. She was hard of hearing, however, and she often misunderstood what he had said. So with all the family and all the friends gathered around, he said to her, "My dear wife, after 50 years, I have found you tried and true." What a beautiful thing to say. Everybody clapped and rejoiced with them, but his wife was a little irritated, and she said, "Now, what did you say?" He spoke a little louder this time. He said, "After 50 years, I have found you tried and true." Wife was visibly upset, and so she shouted back at him and said, "Well, after 50 years, I'm tired of you too." Help us, Lord. In 2005, the Guinness Book of World Records said that Percy and Florence Arrowsmith held two records. They were the longest marriage of a living couple, 80 years at that point, and they had the largest married couple's aggregate age, 205 years together. Both Mr. and Mrs. Arrowwood have since died, but they left us some good advice for those who want to have a lasting marriage. Florence said, "You must never go to sleep bad friends. If you've had a quarrel, you need to make it up. Never be afraid to say sorry." Isn't that great advice? Great advice. Percy had slightly more humorous advice. Maybe you've heard it. He said the secret to his long marriage was just two words. Can anybody guess what they were? I heard various versions of it. "Yes, dear. Yes, dear. You're right." That's another one. "I'm sorry." That's another one. Did you hear about the husband and wife that were at a party and the subject of marriage counseling came up? The husband said, "Well, we'll never need that. We don't ever need that. My wife and I have a great relationship." He said, "When we met, she was a communications major in college." And he said, "I majored in theatrical arts." He continued, "She communicates really well, and I just act like I'm listening." Well, in any relationship, in order for them to be successful, it can't be a one-way road. There has to be give and there has to be take. There has to be input from both sides. There has to be communication. There has to be service to one another. Commitment, faithfulness. Healthy love relationships are not just one-way streets. Sunday, I preached about the highest level of love that God has for us. Galatians 2 and 20 tells us, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." John 15, 13, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." That love that God has for us, it is immeasurable. It is unfathomable. It is inescapable. We can't go too far to outrun the precious love of God in our lives. Perhaps one of the biggest fears that people who have failed God have is that somehow they've done too much to deserve the love of God anymore. I want to tell you, we never deserved it in the beginning anyway, but thank God for the writing of Paul in Romans 8:37. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded, Paul says, I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Aren't you thankful for the love of God in your life? Aren't you thankful that God reached for you in unmeasurable love? Don't resist the love of God. Don't let the enemy try to separate you from the love that God has for us. Open your heart and let God love you. He wants to. Jesus Christ died for your sins. He gave His life to show His love for us. Thank God for His love. And love begats love. His love calls for our love in return. 1 John 4:19 declares, we love Him because He first loved us. His love calls, it calls to us. Luke 10:27, and He answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. When we think of the great love God has for us, we can't help but love for Him. Think about when you come to a time of prayer or maybe a time of worship in one of our services, and we're just wrapped up in the love of Almighty God, when we can't help but feel that love from His presence. There's a response that happens in our spirit, and we feel our love for Him in return. But I want to tell you, love is more than just a feeling. Love needs to be more than just a feeling in our life. John 14:21 says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. I want to tell you, there is a benefit that when we love God and we keep His commandments, we have a promise that He is going to love us and that He is going to manifest Himself in our lives. I want to tell you this, but I can't make it one day without Jesus. Praise the Lord. I don't know about you, but I'm addicted to Jesus Christ. I'm addicted to His love. I'm addicted to His presence, to His anointing, to His power. I can't make it without Him. Hallelujah. God's called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. He's calling us to love Him. He's calling us to live a higher way. He's calling us to a place of commitment to Him. Why do we follow all the teachings in the Bible about holiness and Christian living? Some people get it wrong. They think, well, these are all the things I got to do. Well, I can't go there because of my church. I can't do that because of my religion. I can't wear that because of what my pastor says. When we fall in love, we want to do what pleases God. We want to do what pleases the object of our affection. It's not a burden, but we do it out of love. When saints of God put rules and regulations ahead of their love for God, we get it mixed up. They can be serving God out of legalism instead of relationship. And that always dries up the spirit. But when we love God, when we truly love Him and we desire to please Him and we want to have His favor upon our life, then we want to do the things that He likes. It's not a burden. It's a privilege. It's a joy to live for God. It's a joy. It's a blessing to live holy. It's a blessing not to do the things of the world. What a wonderful privilege it is to live the way that God wants us to live. Praise the Lord. I want to tell you, it's an honor to live for God. It's an honor to live pleasing to the One who has loved us, and we love Him. What a joy, what a privilege, what a blessing it is. Amen. When there's new people that come to the Lord, we're not going to hit them over the head with with a book of rules so thick that it knocks them out. There's a process. Love first. Then we're going to grow. It has to begin with love. How many times have we seen it? New babies in the Lord that come to God and they're learning to fall in love with Him, but because people who never really got a love for God in their own hearts decided they need to school these new babies in the Lord. And all the stuff that they were doing wrong. I want to tell you, we believe in holiness. We believe in separation from the world. But it has to begin with God's love for us and us falling in love with Him. And out of that relationship grows faithfulness and holiness and righteous living. We've got to teach our children to love God. We've got to teach our children about the love that God has for them. I want to teach them about holiness, and we're going to do that, and we do that. I want to teach them about separation from the world, and they get great teaching on that. But I don't want us to forget teaching them about the love of God, because that's where it starts. That's where it starts. Praise the Lord. 1 John 5:3 says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous." When we love God, His commandments aren't burdensome. It's not a burden, it's a joy when it starts with love. So love is the principal characteristic of a Christian. Paul specifically said in our text, he said, if I speak with tongues but don't have love, then it's all just empty noise. That's not what Pastor said, that's what the Apostle Paul said. I can remember a man that was once in church, and he was very, very hard to deal with, and he was an angry person. He was rude and downright hateful. You ever met somebody like that? I can remember him telling me one time, he talked to me, said, "Well, I just want you to know I've been praying," and I was the pastor, and he probably just got done chewing me out about something, but he said, "I want you to know I've been praying, and God has given me a new tongue." But he still had a hateful spirit. I want to tell you, there was no love in his life. Yes, we believe full-heartedly in speaking in tongues. We believe in it. I believe you need to speak in tongues every day. I don't know where this came from. Well, we just, as long as you speak in tongues once a year or something, you'll be fine. No, I believe we got to be full of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Amen. But we better have a heart of love or something doesn't add up. There's something great missing. We shouldn't profess how spiritual we are based on our speaking in tongues. Yes, that old-time religion, it really does make us love everybody. If we're missing love, we're missing it all. If we're missing love, there's something wrong with our life. Love is the principal characteristic of a Christian. Jesus said to his disciples in John 13:34, he says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." I want to tell you, the spirit and the atmosphere of harvest, it needs to be one of love. I'm thankful for everything else we stand for, but we better have love as the foundation. That's where it all has to start. That's where it has to begin. Amen. I want us, when we come in service, I want people to feel the love of God. When a new person visits Harvest, I want them to be overwhelmed, not just with friendliness, but with love. I want them to feel the love of Jesus Christ as it flows through every one of us. It needs to flow through our music. It needs to flow through our preaching. I'm going to preach it strong. I'm going to preach it like the Word says, but I want to preach it with love. Hallelujah. "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." God help us if we don't love one another. Praise the Lord. We are known by our fruits. If there's no fruit of love in our life, if that fruit of love is missing, then we are missing the sign that identifies the followers of Jesus Christ. Love is truly the greatest thing in the world. According to Paul, it goes beyond tongues, it goes beyond prophecy, it goes beyond faith, beyond generosity. Even those who are martyred, Paul says, if they do it without love, it profits them nothing. Somewhere in the ages of church history, there was a false assumption that if you were martyred, that you automatically went to heaven and you became a saint. Paul, before that even started, Paul wrote and said, hey, I want to tell you, even if you're martyred, if you don't have love, it doesn't profit you anything. Paul told us in our text, he says, love is patient. God's love is patient. Thank God. Amen. Come on, is anybody thankful for the patient love of God that has loved you through thick and thin? Amen. Psalms 86:15, but thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. God doesn't throw us away when we make a mistake. He keeps reaching for us. He's full of compassion. He is gracious and patient with us. I want to tell you, it's easy to get impatient with people. It's easy to get upset with people. But God, help us to remember in those moments God's patience with us. Help us, Lord. 1 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. When we're full of God's love, it's so much easier to be patient with others. I tell you, we need a fresh touch of God's love. Next time you find yourself getting impatient, take a moment, pause, and say, God, I need a fresh touch of Your love right now. Love is patient. Love is kind. Jesus was kind to those around Him. He was kind to those that were in desperate need. Oh, but they don't deserve it. You don't know what they've done to me. Hey, those who deserve love the least, they need it the most. When we're kind to others, it may open us up to be hurt, but it exemplifies the love of Jesus Christ. I'll tell you what, social media, is it a blessing or is it a curse? I don't know. You find people saying stuff on social media that they would never say to your face. And they hide behind the keyboard, but it has lasting effects. And it hurts people. There's feelings and there's emotions there. We ought to be kind on social media. If we're a Christian, we'll be a Christian on social media. It's not our place to hash out our personal issues on social media. That's not the place. You don't know who sees that. If you're connected to 100 friends, there's 100 people that see, and they don't exactly know the situation, but they see what we post. There's some times I've been tempted. I said, you know, well, I'm gonna tell them a thing or two. Woo. And it would make me feel so much better in the moment, but then I'd be like, ooh, I gotta take that off. We ought to be kind. Charles Schwab, the wealthy businessman, once spoke about the vulnerability of love. He had been in court over a lawsuit, and somebody brought a lawsuit against him, and he was 70 years old, and he was given a chance by the judge to speak to the audience. Charles Schwab said, he said to the group there, speaking as an old man, 9/10 of my troubles can be traced to my being kind to others. He said, look, young people, if you want to steer away from trouble, you be hard-boiled. You be quick with a loud no to anyone and everyone. If you follow this rule, you'll seldom be bothered, but you'll have no friends, and you'll be lonely, and you won't have any fun. He made this point. He said, love may make us vulnerable to hurt, but it's worth it. It's worth it. God, help us to be kind to others. Love isn't jealous. It's not jealous. Envy has destroyed kings and sinners and saints alike. Jealousy is a powerful emotion. Seeing what others have and wanting it for ourselves. Having envy that someone else has something that we don't. But real love focuses more on giving than it does on getting. Real love focuses more on blessing others than taking it from them. Sometimes people are a lot like crabs. How many's ever been crabbing? Oh, good, good. There's more than that. There was one back there. Anybody over here, you've been crabbing? All right. It's so much fun. I can remember the first time we went crabbing, or I went crabbing, and I was just a little boy, and my aunt and uncle took me crabbing somewhere there in southeast Texas or maybe Louisiana, and we went on the side of this canal, and they just gave me a piece of chicken liver and tied a string around it, and we threw it in, and you'd feel a little tug, and you'd pull it up and scoop up the crab with the net. And our family has enjoyed crabbing sometimes. There's one place that we went across the border into Louisiana. You didn't have to buy a fishing license in Louisiana. So anyway, we just slip across the border and save $15 or whatever it was. But there's this one place, this old dock, and we'd go out and we'd do some crabbing there. I remember one time Daniel was there. He had a pretty good tug on his line, and he was a lot smaller than he is today. He pulled it up, and there was an alligator on it. We got a picture of it, if you don't believe me. But I also remember a time at that very same place that somebody, I don't remember who it was, dropped one of our nets in the water, and it was floating away. And there was that old dock that went out in the water, and I went down to the end of the dock, and I laid and tried to reach way out on it to get that net, and the dock broke. And I went head first into that water, and all I could think of, there's alligators in here. There's alligators in here. I got to get out of here. Somehow we made it, but anyway. People can be a lot like crabs. When you catch a bunch of crabs and put them in a bucket, you don't have to put a top on that bucket because you just let one of those crabs start crawling up the side. There'll be another one pretty quick that reaches up and pulls it back down. Let's not be like that. Let's not be like those kind of people. Love is not jealous. We ought to be encouraging one another. We ought to celebrate with them. Praise the Lord. We should be encouraging them. Don't rejoice when they're down, but let's let God's love shine through us. Love is not jealous. Love doesn't brag. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We're not saved by our own abilities. I don't care how strong you are, you can't pull yourself up to heaven. Jesus gives us salvation through His death on Calvary, and true love focuses on others. It's not self-centered. It doesn't seek to exalt itself. If God's love fills our heart, then we'll want to boast and brag about Jesus to everybody, not about ourselves. Oh, I tell you, we do well to remember 1 Corinthians 10 and 12. Watch, or wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Love doesn't brag. Love isn't arrogant. How many times does the Bible warn us about having a proud spirit? Arrogance and pride are not from God. Pride was the sin that brought Satan down, and it'll bring us down too. Proverbs 16 and 18, pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. Humility is one of the greatest virtues, even though it's pretty rare in this world. Amen. But God, help us to be full of your love and to show humility to all. I want to tell you, being humble doesn't mean that you're a pushover when it comes to standing for what's right. But it's the spirit that we do it in. Sometimes you got to stand up for what's right. Sometimes you have to stand up for truth. You got to stand up for godliness. You got to stand up for what's ethically right. But you can do it with a spirit of humbleness. Love does not act inappropriately. Christians should be temperate. They should be in moderation. We're to be sober. We're not to be given to excess. We should act appropriately. Sadly, today's generation of children, they've been allowed, many of them, to misbehave, to talk disrespectfully to parents, to get away with just about everything. And lack of punishment and consequences leads them to believe that there's really not consequences for their actions. And it's led to an epidemic of crime in our nation. I want to tell you, God's love does not act inappropriately, but it leads us to be disciplined. To be disciplined. Love doesn't seek its own. The love of Christ is not selfish, but it causes us to think of others. It causes us to put their needs before our needs. There is a true joy in loving and doing good and giving to the needs of others. That's the same spirit Jesus had. Amen. It was a spirit of selflessness. That's what He demonstrated here on the earth. And when we have His love in our heart, we'll demonstrate that love for others. Someone long ago gave that formula, and there's many people, successful people, that have lived by it. God first, others second, I'm last. God first, others second, I'm last. It's easy to love others that love us in return. But what about our enemies? Can I talk to us tonight? Jesus said in Matthew 5:43, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute." When someone hurts us, when someone does wrong to us, when someone brings an attack against us, it's easy to hate them right back. It's hard to love them. But that's what we're called to do. I want to tell you, if you've ever been in a place that bitterness has tried to set in, really, the most effective way to let God remove that root of bitterness from your life is to pray for them, to bless them that curse you, to do good to them that hate you, to pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. And you'll find if you keep doing that, that God will take that root of bitterness and He'll remove it. And when you look at them, there'll honestly be love in your heart. This is not in my notes, but just last night, I text a friend, and he's a friend. There was one point we weren't friends. There was one point that I felt that he had really been wrong to me. And I went through a season, Brother Todd, I went through a season that bitterness grabbed hold of me. And I had to pray. I want to tell you what, I don't know who was right, who was wrong, whatever. There's a love there now. There's a love there. And I happened to think of them, and I just said, hey, how are y'all doing? And we had a conversation back and forth, and there's no bitterness there. The enemy wants to destroy us through bitterness. But God has called us to love our enemies. C.S. Lewis, well, he sums up the subject of love. He says, to love it all is to be vulnerable. Love anything and your heart will certainly be wrung and possibly be broken. If you want to make sure of keeping it intact, you must give your heart to nobody. Wrap it carefully with hobbies and little luxuries. Avoid all entanglements. Lock it up safe in the casket of your selfishness. But in that casket, safe, dark, motionless, and airless, it will change. Your heart will not be broken. It will become unbreakable. impenetrable, irredeemable. Yes, love's dangerous. It opens us up to hurt. It opens us up to be mistreated. It opens us up to being taken advantage of. But it makes us like Jesus. Praise the Lord. God, help us to love others the way that you've loved us. Yes, our enemies may not love us in return, but Jesus told us in Luke 6:31, "And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, which thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil." If we just do good to those that do good to us, what credit do we get for that? Even sinners do that. But we're called to be like Christ. Praise the Lord. "And he was kind to both good and to evil. He loved both the sinner and the disciple." Yes, I want to tell you, love is dangerous. Love is dangerous. It opens us up to the opportunity to be hurt, but it also opens our heart to be a conduit that the love of Jesus can flow through. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8, "And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins." I want to tell you, love covers much. Love covers much. It heals much. It repairs situations. You just keep giving love. You keep giving love. You let the love of God flow through you, and you let God cover a multitude of sins. So how do we do this? How do we do this? I tell you, we can't do it without a relationship with God. We've got to have a relationship with God. Our flesh simply can't do this. You know those people that, there are just some people that everywhere they go, you can tell they've been with Jesus. Everyone they meet knows there's something different about that person. They might not know exactly what it is, but they feel something different. And what they feel is the love of Jesus flowing through that life. That's how we ought to desire to be. But we can't do it unless we have a relationship with God. If our purpose here at Harvest is to first love God, which includes showing His love to others, then that starts out with salvation. Why do we have church services? Why do we invite people to church? Why do we sing songs of worship? And why do we preach sermons with conviction? Because we want to introduce people to the love of God. Praise the Lord. And when they truly feel the love of God, for some of them, it'll be the very first time they've ever felt loved. For some of them, they've never felt true love before. And people respond in different ways. People respond in different ways. Amen. When we come in contact with the holiness of God, when we feel His love, there's some that they'll worship. There's some they'll weep. I've seen them come in, and when the Spirit starts moving, they don't know what to do, and they run to the altar, and they start praying. I've seen others that just kind of began to laugh because they didn't know really what was going on. I've seen others, they didn't know anything about it. They just started dancing and worshiping because they felt the love of God. People respond differently, but when His presence moves upon our life and there's conviction that grips our heart, and when we feel that undeserving love that God has just shown to us, at that point a choice has to be made. Are we going to open our hearts for what God wants to do in us? Are we going to resist and stay in control of our lives? But when we're truly hungry, and when we've had all we can stand of the world, we're tired of living like that, we'll be ready to do whatever we have to do in order to stay in the presence of the love of God. We'll repent of our sins. We'll be baptized in Jesus' name. We'll receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. God, He will lead us in a path of holiness and separation from the world, and our life will be changed forever. I tell you, a true, genuine experience with the love of God, it ruins us forever with the world. a true, genuine experience with the love of God, it ruins us forever with the world. If there's ever been anybody here that you've ever backslid after coming to God, you can attest to this. Because we'll never, after we've experienced the love of God in our lives, we'll never truly be able to enjoy the things of the world again. We'll never truly feel comfortable in the world. We'll never truly get along with the rest of the world like we used to get along. Because no matter how far we go from the presence of God, we know deep in our heart that there's nothing out there that compares to the love of Jesus. There is nothing out there that can satisfy. There is nothing out there that can fill our heart. I tell you today, the love of God, it ruins you for the rest of the world, but it makes you like Jesus. Aren't you thankful for the love of God today? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. If you're seeking the greatest gift, the one that will have a lasting impact, not only on us, but on all those around us, before you seek the gift of tongues or interpretation of tongues or prophecy or the word of knowledge, I believe we need to seek the gift of love in our lives, because God's love will remain forever. Everything that God does, it proceeds and comes out of His love for us. He even corrects those that He loves. Eternity in heaven, it will be an endless span of God's love for His saints. It's difficult to understand the measure of God's love, but we've all experienced it. And if we'll show Jesus Christ to others, we will manifest His love through our lives. Would you stand with me tonight? I read a story that I want to relate to you in closing. And you'll know who some of the people are in this story. When I read it, I thought, I want Harvest to be like that. I pray that Harvest can be like that. Jim Baker, the former disgraced televangelist, tells a story of godly love. You might remember a few years ago how his failures led him to prison. After serving for 4 years, he was released, but he wasn't free. He remained tormented by his failure. He tells the story of how Billy Graham's family reached out to him while he was still in prison. Franklin Graham offered him a job, a house to live in, and a car to drive. "You can't do this," Baker told Graham. "You don't need my baggage." But Graham insisted. When Baker was finally released to a Salvation Army halfway house, the phone rang and it was Ruth Graham asking permission to send someone to pick up Jim Baker for church the next Sunday. When he arrived at church, Ruth Graham came and sat down next to the former inmate. "I'd only been out of prison 48 hours, Baker said. But she told the world that morning that Jim Baker was her friend. I want Harvest to be like that. No matter how far someone goes, I want them to feel love in this place. No matter what kind of baggage they're carrying. Because people today are carrying baggage. They're carrying stuff. They're carrying hurt. They're carrying brokenness. They're carrying addictions. I want to tell you, families today are messed up. Can we carry that baggage with them to the foot of the cross? And let the love of Jesus shine through us so that they can find forgiveness. They may have just got out of prison and they're not behind bars anymore, but there's bars over the heart. There's only one that can truly set them free. If we don't show them love, they'll never meet Jesus. Hallelujah. I want you to just close your eyes right now, and I want you to think of somebody that you could love with the love of Christ. It might be the neighbor across the street. He seems kind of grouchy. It's not really somebody you want to talk to. But he needs the love of Jesus Christ. I want you young people to think of somebody at your school. She may not be somebody that you'd even spend time with. She might seem like everything is all together and she doesn't have care in the world. But in her heart, when she puts her head on that pillow at night, she's empty inside. Pray that God would help you show His love to her. Think about somebody that comes to church and they don't smell good. They're a little rough around the edges. Everyone in their life has rejected them. Can we be like Jesus and reach for their life? I want this to be the heartbeat of Harvest. I want this to be the heartbeat of our lives, that we show the love of Jesus Christ. I wonder if you'd find a place of prayer with me right now and ask God to work on our hearts. God, let there be a burden in me. God, let there be a fresh touch of your love in my life. And God, help me. Help your love to flow through my life to make an impact in others. Come on, right now, would you pray that God would give you a burden for somebody at school, somebody on the job? Oh, God, help me, Lord, to reach them with your love. Help me to reach them with your presence, God. Just give me the words to say. Give me an opening, God, that I can show them your love. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, let this be our heartbeat. Lord, let this be our mission. Let this be our purpose. Let us be saturated with your love so much that every person we meet, they can feel it. They're touched by it. They're changed by it, Lord. In the name of Jesus, help us, oh God, to show your love. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, it's easy to get caught up in our own world, in our own lives, our job, our school, the day-to-day of whatever. But God calls us to think about others. It's the way Jesus did. Jesus was busy. He had a lot of people demanding for his attention. But he took time out to hear the cry of one man named Bartimaeus. He took time out to reach to Zacchaeus. He told his disciples, you know what? I've got to get over to Samaria. Because there's a woman that nobody else is going to reach to, but I'm going to reach to her today. I want to challenge us this next week. Ask God to give you somebody that you can love with the love of Jesus Christ. It's beyond the love of this world. Ask God, God, I want you to give me somebody that I can show your love to. I'm going to brag on my wife a moment. It was a few days before Christmas, and if you don't know, Sister McCoy, she likes to have blizzards from Dairy Queen quite often. And I have to resist, Brother Pruitt, because I'll take her, but then I want to get one myself. And there's one young lady at one Dairy Queen that we go to, and we see her, and we haven't seen her in a few weeks, and she's young. I think she may be in high school still, and I can't remember what happened to her family, but she basically takes care of her younger brothers and sisters. We asked her and said, hey, you know, getting ready for Christmas? And she said, yeah, I guess. Could tell that really might not have been all that great of a Christmas. And anyway, we started to pull off, and Sister McCoy said, stop, back up. I looked behind me, and there's nobody back there, so I backed right up, knocked on the window. She came thinking that, you know, something was wrong. Sister McCoy had a little money. A lot of money. Gave it to me to give to her. That girl's eyes got this big around. I don't know if she'd ever held a $100 bill before. Whether it's money or time or a kind word or just being a friend to somebody that doesn't have any other friends, we got to show the love of Jesus Christ. Youth group, we got to love one another. I don't want new people coming into this youth group feeling like they can't get in. Praise the Lord. I don't want them feeling like there's a click and they just don't. We got to love people. Let's all do it. Let's all do it. When new people come to this church, make a point to go meet them. You know what would be good Sunday? Pastor's just rambling now. You know what would be good Sunday? For people that sit on this side to just go sit on that side. People that sit in the back, sit in the front. People in the front, stay in the front. But sometimes we get in our little comfort zone and there's people on the other side of the church we've never even talked to. That's the thought. I'd love to see everybody up front praising God. Praise the Lord. God bless you tonight. I want this to be the foundation, the heartbeat of harvest. The love of God. God has loved us, and we love Him, and we let His love flow through us and love others. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Have a great rest of the week. We'll see you Sunday. Let's believe for a revival this weekend. Come ready to worship God. Amen. Thank you for those of you that have been fasting and praying. If you've not taken a few hours to pray, please see the sign-up sheet at the welcome desk. You can feel the difference of your prayers. Amen. Keep it up. God bless you.